We've come together to worship God. Everything that we do is for that purpose, to worship and honor God. And we have a few moments to look into His Word and to learn from it and to apply it in our daily living. Because every word that is breathed from God in His Holy Scripture is for us today. As we look through the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches throughout Galatia, we see as he writes to these Christians, it almost becomes a theme of his that he says, we are not justified by the works of the law, but by our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he reminds the Christians throughout Galatia, as he reminds us here at Lake Hills, we have been called to live in the grace of Christ. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he tells those Christians, and we learn from that letter, that we are saved by grace. But I want us this morning to examine God's word closely so that we can gain more godly knowledge that he wants us to have regarding his word. As we look at that scripture, that we are saved by grace, as indeed we are, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is not of our own works, so that no one should ever be bold enough, so bold as to claim that it was their works that saved them. Salvation is indeed the gift that is given to us by God Himself. But we can only grasp at understanding and comprehending the grace of God. While it is hard for us to grasp, I want us to consider this morning how all of God's plan works together for our salvation, for us to have an eternal home with Him in heaven. God's grace truly means that He did something for us. Grace means that He gave us something. He has provided something to us that in no way could we ever deserve or earn or be worthy of by our own feeble works. Grace, we oftentimes define it as the unmerited favor of God. It can also be thought of as God giving us a second chance, as an opportunity to obey Him and to have salvation. The grace of God, and it is by His grace that we are saved. Have people through the years, people who wear the name of Christ, have we misunderstood or misapplied this very scripture? Have we ourselves as the brotherhood, have we been afraid of that phrase that we are saved by grace? As we look into God's word, I want us to better understand this very topic. We don't need to avoid it. We don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to be ignorant of it. God's grace relates to the free gift of salvation. This morning, as we've gathered here in this room, we're going to set aside for the next few minutes that tall glass of cold milk that's so easy to drink. And we're going to cut into a 2-inch thick steak, and we're going to chew on it for a few minutes. As we look into God's Word, as we dig deeply into His holy Word, to see what God has done for us, to see what He has given to us, and to see what He has told us to do to accept that gift. The very foundation of today's lesson is built on this fact. God's grace provides an opportunity for us to believe, and our belief then develops into faith, and our faith leads us to obedience. And our obedience allows us to receive the free gift of God's salvation and forgiveness. Our obedience to God can never be misunderstood and thought of as our good works. It is not. We do not work our way into salvation. God has done all the work. God has done everything and has provided everything that we need for salvation. God has paid the price, the high price that it required for our sins to be forgiven. God's grace, His favor to us has been extended. Even though we are undeserving of it, even though we could never earn it. So, how do we receive God's grace? How do we receive His grace that results in our salvation and our eternal life in heaven, the home that He has prepared for us? How do we accept this unimaginable gift that God has for us? We look into God's Word for those answers. For questions like this, we look into the only source that gives us the answers, His Holy Scripture. What does God's Word tell us about grace and our own salvation? The letter to the Galatians confirms that a person cannot be justified, by the works of the law, that is, the law of Moses. The law that the Jews at that time of Paul's writing for 1600 years had been under that law of Moses. They could not abide by those laws. And he says, you are not justified by them. As he wrote to the Galatian churches in chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So if we cannot be justified by the law, found not guilty in God's sight, how then can we be justified? How could we ever stand before God righteous in His sight? Turn with me, if you would, for the answer. In the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 3, I want you to look at that with me. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. If you didn't bring your Bibles to Bible study, if you didn't bring your Bibles to worship service, it's like going to the washateria and not taking a box of Tide. You're just kind of missing out. Bring your Bibles, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and following. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. If we are now under the law that requires faith, apart from works and deeds, then exactly what is that law? That law is the good news. That law is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul proclaims, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thus far, as we've looked into God's word this morning, we have seen answers confirming that we are saved by grace. Grace that we are undeserving of from God. Undeserved favor that he extends to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace is from God. It is from God alone. Faith is our response to God's grace. We are therefore justified by our faith and not by our works. We can stand before God and we can be found not guilty. The sweetest words that we could hear. Not guilty of the sins that we had committed because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made righteous as we stand before God, not by our own works, but through our faith in Christ. As Paul wrote to the Philippian church, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul declares, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." If our belief leads to faith, and then our faith responds to God's grace, then what exactly is our response? Our obedient response to the gospel of Jesus Christ can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. As we respond to the gospel of Christ, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." There it is. The gospel in a nutshell. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God recognizes an active faith, which involves obedience to his commands, the commands that he has given to us. The obedient faith that leads to salvation. While God's grace makes salvation possible, it is our obedient faith that fulfills our salvation. Again, we can never, ever earn salvation. It is truly the free gift that God gives to us. However, we must comply with the conditions that God has given us to receive that gift. In order to receive that gift of salvation that God has for us, it's just like when Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17, verse 10. He says, "So likewise, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." Although salvation is free, the gift that is offered from God, we are instructed over and over throughout the New Testament, instructed how to receive this gift, how to meet the conditions that God has laid forth for us, to receive the gifts that he has promised to us, that he has for us. When we respond to the gospel of God's offer of salvation, when we respond to that, we are neither earning nor deserving that gift. We are only accepting it. We are accepting God's gift and meeting the conditions that he has told us to meet in order to receive the gift that he has promised to give. The letter written by the Hebrew writer, chapter 11, we're all very familiar with that chapter, the chapter of faith. beginning at verse 1 and then looking also at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith, faith in God. Our faith will lead us to take action. Our faith will lead us to do what God has commanded us to do, to seek and obey him. As we read Hebrews 11, we call that chapter oftentimes the Hall of Fame of the Faithful Heroes. Throughout that chapter, every example that we see tells us of obedient faith. Every example that is given to us by that Hebrew writer, every one of them takes action. Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses, the children of Israel, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Every single one of these that is expounded upon in chapter 11 of Hebrews tells us of the action that their faith led them to take. Without exception, every one of them took action to demonstrate their faith. Faith is not only expressed by our words. Faith is expressed by our actions. Faith is a working faith. What action then does faith call us to take to claim this free gift? To claim this gift of salvation, what action does God want us to take? In the letter again that Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Grace for obedience to the faith. Grace leads us to that obedient faith. Our faith directs us. It even compels us to obey the instructions that God has laid forth. The instructions that Jesus gave us. The instructions that were taught to us by the apostles. The instructions that we have in God's word. Our faith leads us to complete obedience to the commands of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example you might be able to relate to. If I were to tell you this morning that tomorrow I am going to deposit $1 million into your bank account. I'm going to deposit $1 million into your bank, but I ask you to do this. Go and open an account at Regions Bank. Go and open that account so I can transfer $1 million into your account and give it to you. How many of you would argue with me? How many of you would refuse to open an account at Regions Bank because you want to bank at Truist? Your family's always banked at Truist, and that's where you're going to stay. Would you argue about that? Would opening such an account at Regions Bank, would that in any way constitute your good work that all of a sudden you earned that $1 million? Would obeying my instructions and simply complying with them, would that make you deserving of that $1 million? Well, the answer is no. Doing those things would not all of a sudden make you deserving or earning that kind of money. Now, please do not go to Regions Bank tomorrow morning and open a new account. You'll be sorely disappointed if you do. I will not be $1 million sent. But God's gift of grace to us is very much the same way. He has told us and given us the instructions of what to do to receive it, to receive salvation. He has given us that opportunity, not by the works that we have done, lest any man be bold enough to boast. There's a question that begs to be asked. The same question that was asked by the crowd that was there on the day of Pentecost. What shall we do? The very same question that the Philippian jailer asked as he stood before Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? diligently seeking God, looking into His Word to find the answer to that question, that very important question, we learn that we must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, for by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So having heard the Word of God, having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We're commanded to repent. To repent of our sins, to change the way we live, to turn our back on that way of life. Luke 13:3-5. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Matthew 10:32 tells us we are to confess His name before men. To confess the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And then we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now make no mistake about it. Following these instructions, complying with these conditions to receive God's gift to us, does not constitute good works that earns us salvation. We will never be deserving of that gift. Salvation is the gift that comes from God's hand. Salvation is the gift that He has for us, not of works that we have performed. Nevertheless, every single step along that walk of faith, every single step is so important that we obey and that we comply with. One step building on the other, as we submit to God's will and as we obediently submit and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Believing alone does not save us. James tells us in 2:19, he says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But without believing, baptism is nothing more than getting wet. We must believe. Peter answers that question as they cried out, what shall we do? In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our hearing leads us to believing. Believing results in our repenting and our confessing the name of Jesus Christ, confessing Him as the Son of God, as our Savior. So why then? Why then is baptism so important? Why is that such an important condition that God has laid out for us to receive salvation? First of all, we need to understand. We need to understand that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. Nothing but the blood. The same blood that poured out on the cross as He was crucified, as He hung on that cross and suffered in our place. As He was crucified instead of me, as He took my place, the blood that poured out is what washes us of our sins. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. It is through the blood of Jesus that we are cleansed. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. His blood continually washes us. His blood continually cleanses us of our sins. So how then do we claim that blood? How do we come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed almost 2,000 years ago for us today? Romans 6:3-4 provides the answer to that very important question. As Paul wrote to those Romans, or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These two verses provide the answer. We were baptized into his death. We were buried with him. We were raised up. We were resurrected for a purpose, to live a new life, to live as a new man, a new creature, our sins washed away only by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ through baptism. Acts 22:16, the question was asked there, now why? Why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why are you waiting? As obedient responders to the gospel, we put on Christ. We put on Christ through baptism. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We can wear the name of Jesus Christ because we wear the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that cleanses us allows us to wear his name. As Nicodemus sneaked away that night, under the cloak of darkness so that no one would see him, he wanted to meet with Jesus. And as he met with him, as we see recorded in John chapter 3, at verse 5, Jesus tells Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, a member of the high council, Jesus tells Nicodemus, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of the water and the Spirit, Jesus himself assures us that he will save those who obey him. As we referred to Mark 16:16 a moment ago, in the words of Jesus Christ himself, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Do you trust him? Do you believe he'll keep his promises? Do you believe Jesus is a man of his word? Do you believe him? Through obedient submission to baptism, God adds us to the church. In Acts 2:41 and then verses 46 and 47, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So continuing later with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God adds us to his church as we comply to his instructions. Every single story of conversion that we have in the book of Acts, without exception, every single story includes people believing. Then their faith leads them to obedient action. They take action, repenting and confessing the name of Jesus. They take action in submitting to baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. Every single story in Acts follows this example, the example that God has given us on how to obey him. As we draw our lesson this morning to a conclusion, I want you to listen very carefully to this statement for your consideration. God's grace is extended to us, allowing for a believing faith to develop. This faith responds in obedience to the commands of Jesus, meeting the conditions to receive the free gift of salvation, unearned, undeserved. We are justified. We're found not guilty of our sins in the sight of God. We are justified and made righteous in his sight by our obedient faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith leads us then through obedient repentance and confession that he is the Son of God. We are baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. We come into contact with his blood as we are buried with Christ in baptism. We are buried with him. We are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Those sins washed away by his blood, by the blood that was shed for us. We are washed and made holy by the blood of our Savior Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And as the Lord has promised, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We've been bought. We are a purchased people, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we see in Acts 20, 28 and Galatians 3, 13, the price has been paid. The price that we could never pay, God paid it. He is our Savior, and now we are his, saved by the grace of God through faith and obedience in him. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus plainly tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love him? Do you love him today? Do you trust him? Do you believe he will keep his promises? Are you keeping his commandments? Are we keeping his commandments? If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, there will never be a better day than today. To obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and put Jesus on in baptism, having your sins washed away by obedience to him, having the blood of Jesus wash us away as we repent of our sins and confess his name and baptize for the forgiveness of every sin we've ever committed. You may be here this morning and you've done that years ago. You obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ many years ago. But for whatever reason, things have happened in your life. Life happens. You've drifted away and you know you're not living the way that you once lived. You don't feel towards God the way you once felt. Things have happened. That could be changed this morning. This morning, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses. You can change the way you live today and live for him. If you are subject to the invitation, to God's invitation, in any way, we would be honored to help you and assist you.